Justine, I know with the new funds, the university's going to look to expand on some of its sexual assault training, especially in making people more trauma-informed. What does that entail? What does it mean to be trauma-informed?
We train our faculty and staff. We train Title IX, our judicial hearing boards, so that maybe if we hear things from a victim or a survivor and we're kind of like, whoa, why did they do that? Or I'm a little bit confused. When we're trauma-informed, we understand. That makes complete sense. Of course they would. Those behaviors seem very normal now. So we loose the judgments and we just allow the victim to be, because whatever they're doing is totally normal.
This is a fairly large campus, and at night it's dark. There are parties around campus sometimes. There's alcohol. What can women and men do to protect themselves? I mean, in those situations, what advice can you give toward that?
Most of the time, especially on a college campus, the person that commits the crime is someone the victim knows. And so when we have these ideas of, oh, I better walk in a group or I better do this and that, that's all important. And I'm not trying to discount safety. But I also think we get stuck in this lens of it's a stranger in an alley that comes out and it's very violent. And that is not necessarily what we see on a college campus. We have to look at it a little bit broader and not necessarily how we've been told sexual assault is supposed to look like. It's not always violent. It's not always aggressive. Sometimes it's verbal coercion. Sometimes it's just fear. And you feel as though no isn't an option. And you almost feel like you have to say yes. If you ever feel like you have to do something, that's not okay.
I know the university wants to train bystanders too. What can a person that's just standing around do to help out?
What we know is that there's three D's of bystander intervention. The first is direct, the second is distract, and the third is delegate. If someone is direct, you might go up to the person directly who's doing the negative behaviors, or maybe you go up to the person who's receiving the negative behaviors and you let them know what's going on. Another would be you're going to do a distraction. Maybe you see some people, one person looks uncomfortable in an encounter, so you walk up and say, hey, aren't you in my math class? Or what do you think about this? Did you watch the game last night? So you just break up and diffuse the situation. Third would be you're going to delegate the task to somebody else. And that's big with safety. If it looks pretty harmful, you're going to call the police. If you live in the res halls, you're going to get your RA. And the goal isn't to get over your obstacles. It's to act despite of them. So I'm always going to do something because it's important.
Right. I know students talk about these things during their orientation when they first get to the university, but when should young adults really be having these talks?
You know, this is a conversation that we can be having from the beginning and continue to have even into a late adulthood, is that idea of what consent is, how do we respect people's boundaries, what does a healthy relationship look like, and sometimes we don't get the right messages. And so we make assumptions on what people think or what they might like. So if anyone's listening to this, these are conversations you can have just at the dinner table. If you are watching a TV show and rather than just kind of letting a moment pass, like, what do you think about that? Or, you know, what if you were with someone and they said those things? Does that feel good? Does it not feel good? You know, one of the greatest ways I think that you can teach consent is with little kids. Even things like a tickle game can be super fun and children enjoy them. But when they say no, as adults, we stop and we respect that and we say, okay, you said no. And that child learns to understand their no is important, it's respected, and then people should listen to me. And those small messages that happen at 5 translate to 15, translate to 25.
Justine, I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Justine Hernandez works to prevent interpersonal violence on campus. I'm Marcus Laverne, Reno Public Radio News.